So just a very brief introduction to our new series, which we kick off this week and will last us for the next 7 weeks. And by some miracle, we're going to do the whole of the Bible in 7 weeks. So I hope you're up for that. But we thought it'd be great just to spend a bit of time just looking at what is our foundation, really, our foundational text, and particularly in the light of our text for 2024, to ask the questions, really, how do we build a full assurance of faith? How do we hold unswervingly to hope? And how do we encourage one another towards love and good deeds? And the starting point for all of that is the Bible. And so over these next 7 weeks, we're going to be taking a short trip, I suppose, through the whole of the Bible. And today I just want to present a sort of introduction, an overall introduction to this particular series. I'm guessing most of you, well, I don't know, maybe this isn't true, but most of us here probably grew up with the Bible. Is that fair to say? That maybe for most of us, the Bible was a book that we had in our house somewhere. We may not have realized it, obviously, when we were very, very young, but I'm guessing that for those of us that had Christian parents, had the blessing of Christian parents, then we probably were read the Bible when we were unable to read, and then encouraged to read the Bible once we could read. And of course, as well as perhaps for many of us going along to church, maybe from a young age as well, we had the privilege of having that taught to us and it explained to us, and we could see it in the lives of the people that we encountered. And so we've had that privilege of this sort of book around for such a long time through our lives. And for those of us who have had that, it has shaped us, hasn't it? It's shaped who we are. Even if we didn't realize it, it's shaped who we are. It's changed who we are. It's molded us into the people that we are today by giving us the values and helping us to understand how to live. Now, we might not always have lived that way. We may have had times when we've rebelled, and looking at some of you this morning, you look as if you were rebellious and probably stepped away at times, but maybe you were still there, but your heart was a long way away from it. You know, we've all had those different experiences of it. And for some of us here this morning, we didn't encounter the Bible when we were children. And this is a new book to us, something we're reading for the first time as adults in this experience. Or perhaps you came to faith as an adult, and so the Bible was thrust into your hand and you didn't really understand where to start from it, but maybe you found someone who explained it to you and walked it with you. And so we've got this book that some of us are so familiar with, and some of us perhaps don't have the full picture of what it is. And yet it becomes this sort of foundational book for our lives, every day of our life as well. And I'm sure for those of you that have known this book for many, many years, I hope and pray you're still allowing it to shape you, that you're still allowing it to change you and still able to hear God's voice for your life today. It is an incredible book, isn't it? It has shaped our world. There's no doubt about that. No matter what people have done to it over the years, it has shaped our world. The songs that we sang this morning have come from the Bible text. Classical music, lots of it inspired by the words from the Bible. Culture has echoes of the Bible still through it today. Even songs that are written today, even that we might, I don't know, what do we call them now? We don't call them pop songs anymore, do we? I don't know, what do we call them? But there's still echoes of this story because it is our story. That's why it's there, because it's our story. And it's challenging. Anybody find it confusing at times? Anybody worry about the violence in it and the anger that's in it? And yet it's full of grace and dripping with God's mercy, isn't it? What a book it is that we have the privilege of not only having in paper copy, but now accessible at every moment of every day on our phones as well. But like any book, of course, it needs to be opened and it needs to be read. So just as a sort of introduction to today, to this series, I just probably want to ask, why read it? And I don't know whether this is going to work, Doug, but It did buzz. I don't know what's going on. Is that my slide or is that another slide you've got? Have you got my PowerPoint there? Anyway, here's the first reason. Why read it? Because it teaches us what is true. It teaches us what's true. These are God's words. And in a world that is changing constantly around us, we need something that is true for us to stand on. If we're going to build faith, if we're going to have hope, if we're going to move each other on towards love and good deeds, we need God's word there. But it isn't a reference book. It's not like Google. It's not like Wikipedia or Alexa, where you ask the question and you find one answer. I don't think the Bible is like that. It's a story. And that's the beauty of this book. It is, at its heart, a story. It starts, where would you start any story? In the beginning. That's where it starts. Where does it end? Well, it doesn't end, actually. In Revelation 22 and verse 5, it says, "And they shall reign forever and ever." There's something going on further beyond even the last full stop of this book. The story is moving on. God has more to say and more to do. And more for us to hear and understand. John in his gospel, in John chapter 20, he said, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe it, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." You see, this is ongoing life. There's no full stop to this story. It's going on. And the beautiful thing about it, and maybe the scary thing about it at times, is that we find ourselves in the middle of this story as well. We all fit in somewhere to this incredible sweep of history. It has the ring of truth because it reads us just as much as we read it. This is about me. It's about you. And it is a mirror to the life that we live every single day. And so God invites you to read it, to step into it, and then he'll bring life as he invites you to believe so that, as John said, you may have life in his name. See, this is a transformational story. I think the other thing about it is its wisdom. This is a book that has wisdom. Every day we need to know what to do. How do I live my life well? Where am I heading next? What's God's perspective on the things that are happening around me at this particular time? How do I make decisions in my home, in my family, for my career, on my front lines? How do I make decisions about that? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes this, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of. Because you know those from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." There's the wisdom that this book has for us, to equip us for every good work. And so we read it with a view to asking God, help me to know what the right thing is to do. And these words are trustworthy. They help us discern what is right, what is God's best for our lives. Maybe they're more like a compass than a map in our lives. A compass that gives us direction and allows us to walk towards it rather than a map which is telling us every step of the way, every turn, every U-turn. It's almost like a direction to travel in. And that's God's wisdom for us. And when we go off track, it invites us back another way. It reroutes us after a wrong turn. It brings us back to that place that God is inviting us to through the very words that we read on this page. Paul writing to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1 says, "The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." So if you need wisdom, this is the book to read. This is where you can find it. This is God's word to you today. But I think the Bible is also given so that we can hear God speak. God wants us to know him. And I believe we long to be known by God as well. And as we read the Bible, we begin to tune into this divine tone, this language that God has to speak to us at any particular time. And as we hear him speak, then we begin to align ourselves to his desires, because he has the best for us in our lives. In a world of many competing voices, in many competing ideas and issues that are going on, there is one voice that cuts through them all. And we can tune in as we read his word and begin to become familiar with what it is he has to say. In Psalm 1 and the first three verses, right at the beginning of this book of prayers that is there for us, this is what the writer said. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditate on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. God wants us to have a fruitful, lasting, prosperous life. He wants our lives to make a difference. He does not want us to walk with the wicked, or stand with sinners, or sit with mockers. He's inviting us back through his word as we tune into his voice in every page that we have. And when we hear his voice, we get drawn back into that place where he is, where he longs for us to be. The psalmist says that we should delight in the law, the words of God, and meditate on them day and night. This word meditate in Psalm 1 in the Hebrew, it doesn't just mean to read it. Meditate means to chew on it. It means to let it take root. And then, as verse 3 says, then the tree, the Eden tree of life, will grow in our lives and bring this life that God longs for each of us. This person is like a tree planted by streams of water, constant nourishment being drawn up from the roots that we've planted in God's word, whose leaf does not wither, whose life continues to bear fruit and beauty for those around. There's something beautiful about a life rooted in God's word. When I was looking at this word meditate, it has a lot of lovely meanings in Hebrew. It can also mean to growl like a bear. You like that one? Or to coo like a dove. What a rich word that is. So as you read God's word, I'm longing to hear you growling like a bear. You've got permission to growl like a bear whenever you do it, or to coo like a dove. It can mean to quietly recite the words. And I think what the writer's getting at by using this word meditate is, this isn't something to keep inside you. This is something to voice out. This is something that brings that sense of pleasure and joy and delight to us that we can't hold it in. There's got to be an outlet for it. Jeremiah 20 verse 9 says, if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot hold it in. God's word is there to be seen, to be heard in our lives. On that beautiful story when Jesus comes alongside those two disciples walking away from Jerusalem to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, after they'd encountered Jesus and after he'd opened up the word to them in that place, they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Something happened as a result of hearing, meditating, chewing on God's word. It transforms a life. This is God's word, and I want to encourage you. For those of you who are reading it regularly, read it a bit more. Take time to meditate on it. for those of us that are just beginning to read the Bible, set some time aside to read it and allow it to begin to get into our bones, into our hearts. And maybe you might want to just take a moment to be still before you do it, just to put away those distractions that come so easily to us, to get into a place where you feel comfortable to read God's word. Switch on your app, open the Bible, take a few moments to breathe in and out deeply and allow God just to take up the space in your life, and then read it, and maybe take a short passage and then reread it. Read it twice. That helps us just to focus in on the words on the page. Take notice of what stands out. What is God saying to me at this particular time? You might want to take a notebook and write down something that God is saying as you read it and reread it. And then meditate on it. Chew over it. It's like a dog chewing on a bone. You know, you enjoy what's there, even though sometimes it doesn't look like there's anything there, but there's something that God wants to speak to us about. What might God be saying? And then, of course, we need to apply God's word. What is God inviting you to do as a result of what it is that you've read, you've heard him say to you? And then you need to take a moment to commit yourself to doing what God has invited you to do, because it's that that transforms. It's that that gives the Bible wings, if you like. You know, it puts it into action. And continues to form us into the people God has chosen. It is an amazing story. It's a better story than any other story that we've got around the world. It's a better story for the world today in the mess and the chaos that it's in. It's a better story for each of us and our lives. An ancient text from a vastly different culture to one we're living in, but it's powerful to transform us for today. Jesus thought these words mattered, and I think that's good enough reason for us to know that they matter and that God wants to speak to us still today.